Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champion, and he now has the ring to prove it. We made sure that happened last year. Matt Barnes, and also our senior NBA writer, insider, all of the things, Ramona Shelburne.
Right.
We have got so much on deck today, starting with the back cover. Let's start here. The back cover of the New York Post, not for the faint of heart. Having a bad day, they'll make it worse.
Right.
Having a conflict, yeah, they'll rile it up. And I'm not even going to get into the Post cover after the big press conference Tom Brady gave during the whole Deflategate thing. You people have Google. You can look it up. This is a family show. But while New York's tabloids may often be merciless, when they do give their seal of approval, it means something. And so it was nice to see this morning's great headline commemorating the Knicks' longest winning streak since 2014. Something genuinely wonderful is happening with this team. And yeah, part of it is just what we've been talking about all season. After spending so long as one of the most poorly run organizations in sports, the Knicks are actually a functional franchise now. But it is more than that. It's the way this team is winning, with that kind of effort that has made them one of the strongest defensive teams in the league, with execution and cohesion that allows them to often be greater than the sum of their parts. No, this team does not have two MVPs like the one across the East River, but they do have players who are pushing the boundaries of how to be their best selves, most notably Julius Randle, whose expansion of his game from distance has fueled what has been a remarkable career resurgence. Coming into this season, Randle's career average from behind the three-point line, 29.5%. This year, 41%, one of the most notable single-season jumps in league history. Honestly, it's extremely rare for players to make any sort of jump of that magnitude in their seventh seasons. Usually by that point, a player has had so many chances to grow that if they haven't done it already, they're just not gonna. But of course, nothing about this past year and a half has been usual for anybody. And when the NBA shut down last March and Randle didn't find himself playing again for 9 months, he used the time to relentlessly rework his game. So it was fitting that on his way to dropping 40 last night in an OT win over the Hawks, Randle's first shot of the night was a step back three. He only looked better from there, and he got a little help from Elfrid Payton here. Take a look, right? He looks at the bench before the pass, right? He looks at the bench even before it goes in the hoop.
I love that. There's confidence in your teammate. Him and Derrick Rose are playing great together, too.
Derrick Rose, vintage floaters there, and a 6-for-6 run in the second quarter. Still, the Hawks proved just as gritty last night, and even an injury scare to Trae Young didn't slow them down much. Watch Young being helped off the court here with an ankle sprain, and we're going to get an update from Young himself when he stops by the show a little bit later. But even last night, we got the news that it was not a major injury. Here was Young's tweet after getting his ankle scanned, quote, "God had my back with this one. We be back soon. We move." Meanwhile, as Young was getting treatment, the game went into overtime, and that's when Randle again powered through the Knicks. This is a nice three and a nice pass there, too, to help seal the game. It's notable Randle has remained able to play so well at the end of games, considering this is a Tibbs team, which means Randle is leading the league in minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's also notable that with the win last night, the Knicks are now sitting in the East 4 spot, giving them home court advantage in a potential first-round playoff matchup. Even the tabloids agree. What's possible for this team? Just keep skyrocketing. Get ready for some fun back covers in the months ahead. All right, so Matt, does Julius Randle make your All-NBA cut because you are looking at a competitive court?
Yes, he's been playing great. Probably the most improved player in the game. I don't know if he makes All-NBA, but he's right there, definitely second team. I love his ability to expand his game and really kind of spread his wings, you know what I mean? In L.A., I saw flashes. Mm-hmm. In New Orleans, you saw some more flashes, and all those flashes are kind of starting to turn into fireworks now. And you definitely got to credit Tibbs for empowering him. And this kid's a monster, man. I love to see the growth.
You know, he wrote a story in the Players Tribune a little while ago, yeah. Rage, where he talked about, I don't think I knew what went into being the number one option on a team until this year. And it's not just about, okay, I got to be the guy, I got to score every night. It's, I got to do all the other things that go into leading a team. And yep. I think he's really done that this year. Remember his history, though.
Mm-hmm.
He was the consolation prize for the Knicks.
Yep.
And they did not get Kevin Durant, and they didn't get Kyrie Irving. They didn't even get a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. They decided to fly out to Los Angeles and kind of realizing they weren't going to get any of the three three guys. They make an offer to Julius Randle, and this is what's interesting about this contract he signed. His contract for next year is not even fully guaranteed. Only $4 million of his contract is guaranteed. Wow. They have a pickup date in this summer, July and August, where they can decide to pick up their full $20 million. They also have some bonuses he has to hit, but that's what they thought of him when they signed him. Now, some of that was positioning themselves for to have enough free agency room in free agency. But I think he's played so well. Like, he can do a four-year, $100 million extension this summer.
Yeah.
If they offer that to him, is he your number one guy or is he your number two guy? I think he's played so well, you actually have to have that conversation. Now, maybe you don't need to chase somebody else in free agency.
That'll be a good question. I think that's a great question. I think he might need one more guy to ride with him, but I love what he's been able to do out there. Like I said, to have your team in the fourth position, Knicks fans aren't accustomed to this in a long time. So I'm happy to see. I think LeBron said it too, just basketball is better when the Knicks are relevant, and they're definitely doing a great job this season.
Yep, absolutely. And you saw that list with the front court players. It is a crowded field, but he is definitely making his case. And I'm not even asking about most improved player because I think he's got it locked up. I really do. And it's just such a great example of the way hard work pays off and that it's never too late, right? I mean, the feeling in the NBA so often is like, oh, we know who everyone is by year five. Well, that's not true for basketball players. It's not true for all of us as people. Like, I mean, it's
a lot of it depends on your situation. And you see, and I brought this up before, but that Laker young core, they did a great job drafting. Those kids just didn't get a chance to spread their wings there. So you're seeing Ingram come into his own. You're obviously seeing Randle come into his own. Josh Hart, you know, Lonzo's been up and down with injury, but Lonzo's actually spread his wings too. So a lot of this stuff that people want to give up on in 2 or 3 years because they haven't met some kind of expectation, a lot of it depends on your surroundings. And these guys have found good situations, and they've been able to show what kind of talented players they are.
Well, there are a lot of guys on that team that are fun to watch. Knicks rookie Emmanuel Quickley said that Coach Tibbs declared a, quote, blackout day for today and was considering revoking the players' key card access to the practice facility. He hopes the team will take a day off to rest. I just want to reiterate that. Tibbs is preaching rest. Ramona, those words have never come out of my mouth before. Has his success with this young team more a byproduct of him evolving as a coach or just simply leading the team in the manner that he feels is right on the day
I think he's really evolved, Rachel. I mean, you saw him. We were always out here in Los Angeles. When he was off, when he had, you know, he was done in Minnesota and he had a couple of years to kind of think about what he wanted to do, he was always here in LA in Doc Rivers' locker room. He was traveling around the league trying to learn from other coaches, other programs, and how they ran their operations. I also think you have to credit Leon Rose here. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you have two people from the player agent world, Leon Rose, World Wide West.
Yes.
In that spot where they say they know what players want. They know what's important to players, and I think you could say that, but it's another thing to do it. And we talked about Julius Randle earlier. Yeah. Julius Randle's agent is Aaron Mintz. Aaron Mintz worked very closely with Leon Rose when they were both at CAA. So I think that really helped to do the buy-in for all of those players to buy in. And then not only buy in, but back it up organizationally. Like, when you say you're going to do something and then you actually do it, it means a lot.
I think this is kind of Tibbs 2.0. You know, you hear notoriously that he's an old school coach, tough. But I think this day and age, is that old school stuff is kind of out the window. So I think he's been able to, like Ramona said, kind of fine tune his principles, understand what he wants to give. And then he kind of took a step back, which I think is important because you hear, you know, horror stories, you know, so to speak. And I've never got a chance to play for Tibbs. You know, I don't have anything, you know, bad to say about him, but you hear stories. But I think now more than ever, this is the players' league. And I think he kind of understands that, and he's taken his foot off the gas a little bit and kind of been more of a, okay, guys, what are we doing instead of this is what we are doing.
I don't think Rach think this is a staff. It's not just Tibbs.
Yeah.
You have to remember, there's Johnny Bryan on this staff. Kenny Payne's on this staff. There's Darren Erman's on this staff. Tibbs has empowered his staff to do a lot more this time and also just relationship building with players. So Kenny Payne knew Julius Randle in Kentucky, knew Emmanuel Quick. Like, when you have guys who connect with players who do really well. Talk about Johnny Bryant in Utah. Ask Donovan Mitchell about him.
Yep. No, absolutely. That relationship, really, Donovan has credited for why we got such a fast start in the league. Tibbs, I do want to point out, he's still Tibbs.
Yeah.
As I noted in the top of the show, Julius Randle leads the league in minutes. I mean, we know Tibbs teams are Tibbs teams. And honestly, that work ethic, that fire, that energy, that Tibbs-ness is part of why this team is succeeding so well. They brought him in for him for a reason. They didn't want him to be a completely different person.
Right.
But again, like Julius Randle, people can evolve, right? People can tweak things. And I think it's a great lesson that even old, what are the old dog new tricks?
Yeah.
Old coaches new tricks line. with Tibbs has really been interesting, too, and says a lot about the Knicks as a whole and sort of how they're approaching things as a franchise now. Nobody has ever finished. Nobody has ever done. They keep working, and you can see that on the court. Let's switch gears over to the Lakers side because Anthony Davis expected to return to the lineup tonight against the Mavericks. First time since Valentine's Day with a calf strain, Achilles issues, tendinosis in his right leg. If he plays, and he does expect to, this will be his first game playing without LeBron this season. So, Matt, what are your expectations for AD tonight and Saturday night? Because these teams are going to meet again on ABC, 8:30 Eastern. When they face each other, you got Luka and the Mavs, AD, but no LeBron.
Not high expectations from a standpoint. We know how great AD is. Right now, I think it's about coming back, getting his wind, getting bumped around a little bit, reacting. Because a lot of times with the injuries, when you're going through rehab, everything is kind of premeditated. Like, I know I'm going to have to cut here. I know I'm going to have to cut here. The game is going to be live action, so he's going to have to actually react to situations. And I think that's what a lot of people want to see. But I'm sure he's on a tight minute restriction. And my whole thing with this team is, as long as they're healthy, it doesn't matter what seed they are, they're going to be one of the favorites. And like I said, I just think AD is going to come back and try to get some sort of rhythm and win tonight. And, you know, don't expect crazy numbers because it's not that time yet.
Yeah. Rachel, I cannot stress how important these two games are. Yep. It's not a coincidence that AD's coming back for these games in Dallas. If they even win one out of these two, I think they feel pretty good about avoiding the play-in tournament.
Right.
But if they drop both these games to Dallas, it can go. You can go from the fifth seed to the seventh seed real fast. And Dallas is the team chasing you.
They're very important to Dallas, too, because Dallas, as we heard from Luka Doncic and from Mark Cuban, apparently not very interested in being in the play-in tournament. So it's going to be a war, these two games,
but
right?
I'm scared to death if worst-case scenario, they'll happen to lose and be a play-in tournament, and then they're a seventh or eighth seed with Utah or Phoenix at the top. I'm scared to death if I'm those teams because, like I said, a healthy Laker team is the best team in the West.
Yeah, I guess, but in a one-night scenario or two, you know, you never know.
We
see it in the NCAA tournament, right? That when it's only one game to get in or maybe even two wins to get in, then it becomes a little bit more rocky. We will keep track of that. But coming up later in this show, Russell Westbrook posting another monster triple-double, talked about his can-do attitude on the court. We'll explain in just a moment. Look out for the Washington Wizards, people.
Six in a row for the Wizards.
Second longest win streak in the league. Yes, Ramona, six in a row there. Shut down the previously on fire Steph Curry last night. His streak of 30-point nights is over now. Right? Big reason for their success has been the improved play of Russell Westbrook. He notched another triple-double last night. Clearly not struggling with his confidence either, because when is he? Check out what he said after the game.
My job changes every night, and I feel like I'm one of those players that if I need to defend at a high level, I can do that too. If I need to score at a high level, I can do that. Pass, I can do that. Rebound, I can do that. Want me to coach, I can do that too. You know, I just feel like I can do everything.
All right.
Matt, you heard the man. Would you like to be coached by Russell Westbrook?
Probably not coached. I would have loved to play with someone like Russ. I mean, if you're going to war, Russ is someone you guys take. I think he's undervalued and underappreciated, and he's made the triple-double look so easy that I don't think we appreciate how actually hard they are now. I mean, he's on the verge of breaking Oscar Robertson's record. I'm not sure how many. I think 12 or 11 away from breaking his record. But Russ is one of those guys, no matter what, you know what kind of effort you're going to get from when he's on the court. And he took a bad situation. People thought, man, is he going there to end his career?
Yep.
And turned it into a situation where, you know, six wins in a row. I think they're in the 10th spot right now and playing really well, him and Brad Beal.
So, you know, Russ has always been able to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had that full game. The question was, does he know how to pick his spots? Does he know how to do all of it in one game and when he should do all of it? And I think as he gets older, and we've had a lot of questions about whether his athleticism will translate as he gets older, that's what the key for him is going to be in the second part of his career here, in the latter stages of his career. Can he defend and also score? Can he defend and also have enough energy to get those 20 rebounds like he did last night? In the past, he's put so much on himself to score, to be the number one guy, to carry the team. And I think a lot of his coaches and a lot of his former teammates would say, hey, you don't need to do all of that.
All of it, right?
We need you to save yourself, right? We don't need you.
We don't need you to try that three-pointer.
Right. Yeah.
Well, can you downshift and still have, you know, the same impact on the game as you have when you were in fact? Because Russ has always been a guy that's played 100 miles an hour, you know? So now you're seeing him picking and choosing his spots, and it shows. You still see how explosive he is because he's not running 100 miles an hour now. He's taking taking his time and pacing himself, and then when he has to take off, he still has it. So, again, I think we need to put more respect on Russ's name, but he's had a great season.
It's so interesting because, Ramona, you remember that Royce Young piece from a few years ago where he talked about some of the ways that Russ is kind of famously inflexible, has to park in the same spot every day, has to have his sandwiches cut in a certain diagonal direction. But that being said, he has shown tremendous flexibility for what his team needs when. And that was actually one of the most impressive things to me about his MVP season.
Yeah.
The way he stepped up his performance in the clutch, the way he shifted his shot profile in that season. And then we saw some regression from that of being willing to be that flexible. Matt, what is the journey as you age in this league to kind of accept, hey, this is changing for me and I need to make changes too?
It's important. And you have to, like you said, the last part, you have to adapt your game to where you're at as an individual. Obviously, our minds, the older we get, the sharper our minds are, but just our bodies don't follow. And that's one thing Kobe said. He's like, my mind is sharp as ever, just my body can't keep up. You know what I mean? So I think Russ is one of those guys, probably the most explosive point guard we've ever seen in the history of the game. How is he going to be able to, his game is going to change with his age, and he's doing a great job. I mean, I think that obviously the points per game are down, but everything else is up. And to think a point guard grabbing 20 rebounds, like I said, I just don't think we appreciate that because it doesn't happen.
Do you know what the answer is? If it was easy,
everybody
would be doing it.
Right.
Coming up, Trae Young is dropping by the show. He's going to update us on that ankle injury, the key to the team's successes of late. We'll talk up Nate McMillan. You don't want to miss it. And now I want to welcome in one of the most exciting young players in the league, dazzled in his rookie year, named an all-star in just his second season in the association, and now steering the Hawks toward a playoff berth. Trae Young, welcome to The Jump.
Hi. Hey, Rachel. How are you doing?
It's so nice to see you back here on the show, and I especially appreciate you dropping in after that ankle sprain last night, third quarter against the Knicks. It was a little scary watching you leave the court there, but you tweeted after the game you felt pretty lucky. Give us the update. What happened post-game in terms of the doctors checking you out, and what happened when you woke up this morning?
Yeah, thankfully I have my ankle braces on. It definitely stopped it from going and twisting a little bit more, and I thought it could have been worse. But it feels a lot better. It's still sore. I'm getting an MRI here in a little bit to see if there's any more. But a lot better than what it felt in the moment, for sure.
Well, that is very, very good news, because you guys don't want anything to disrupt the sort of momentum that you've had over these last few weeks. By the way, before we talk Hawks big picture, when you talk about protective, you know, gear you've got, like the ankle stuff, you're rocking some pretty sweet goggles to protect from that eye injury you suffered last weekend. I just need to know if the goggles are here to stay as well.
Yeah. The goggles are something I had to try, something we had to come up with. To help protect my eye. Got hit against the Bulls earlier this week, and just had to go with something new. I don't know if it's a good look or not, but I needed it for protection.
I don't know. We can see if you can play in sunglasses. I mean, we can look into this stuff for you, Trae.
Okay, we need the different tints, for sure.
Exactly. Now, look, this would be your first trip to the playoffs if you guys continue the way you're going. The Hawks are in the fifth spot, just a half game behind the Knicks. So how does it feel to be this late in the season and now playing with these playoff implications, new experience for you guys?
It feels a lot better. It feels a lot better than the previous years, obviously. Winning a lot more games. Matter a lot more too, and you feel it. Each game matters, and we're approaching each game and taking each game seriously, and I think it's shown recently, and hopefully we can get guys back. Hopefully we have a lot of guys still injured, and then me going down last night, we gotta get some guys back healthy before the playoffs, but I think we're on the right track.
That track really has gotten a boost from your new coach, Nate McMillan. Look, Eastern Conference best 18-7 since his hire. Atlanta also has the best offensive efficiency in the conference overall in that time span as well. What are some of the specific things Nate has been working with you guys on that has led to this kind of success?
I mean, it's been a big collective unit. I mean, Nate has came in and done a really good job. I'm just giving a lot of guys confidence, and everybody's just playing free, and everybody's just playing for each other, and it's been a big collective unit. You can tell the chemistry everybody's playing with, and the joy everybody's having right now, and it's fun, especially when you're winning. That makes it a lot better.
When he first took over, what conversations did you and he have about your role, what he wanted from you, his confidence in you?
I mean, he wanted to use me as a weapon, and he has a lot of confidence in me, and he just wants me to be me, and just to continue to be a leader and grow in certain areas, and he's just continuing to push me and give me a lot of really good advice too.
Well, I want to switch gears a little bit here, because after a jury found former police officer Derek Chauvin guilty on 3 counts for the murder of George Floyd, you posted on Twitter, quote, long overdue. And then you followed up with the message, quote, way more work to do. So what does that work entail for you?
I mean, for me, I mean, after seeing what happened and hearing the verdict, I mean, my thoughts were obviously excited for a second, and excited that that some accountability was shown. Mm-hmm. And so that was the main thing for me, and I was excited for it at the moment, but also sad because we had to lose a life for it. And mm-hmm. For me, that's the thing, is that we have way more work to do as far as a society and a country, as far as moving forward and trying to get away from this racial and inequality and injustice system that's going on. And for me, I just feel like there's way more work to do.
Look, the Hawks, real leaders over this last year in the fight for civil rights, the fight for voting rights, and it has made a difference. We have seen it have implications going all the way to the U.S. Congress. So your team is making a difference, and you, my friend, are headed to the NBA playoffs. Good luck with the ankle. I hope the MRI goes okay. And the rest of the way here, we will see you in the postseason. Always fun when you drop by, Trey.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me, Rachel.
And the rest of you, stick with us. Coming up, Steph's 30-point-plus streak did end last night, as we mentioned. But after seeing what he did over the last 11 games, would you bet against him in a play-in scenario? Stick around. We're going to discuss. Here's more on Luka Doncic from some all-time greats.
The confidence that he's playing with is next level.
He's giving us flashes of boom, boom, boom. We ooh and ah.
How does this guy do that?
Luka Doncic has the distinct advantage because he's been playing professional basketball since the age of 15.
Luka Doncic from Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Against the Dallas, the best thing you can have as a youngster is when the keys are handed to you, because now your confidence is high. So if you got the moves, you got the skills, and you got that green light, you can't be stopped.
Gorgeous move from Luka Doncic. What can he do?
He's going to do things that, you know, will surprise you, because he does play under such control. Suddenly he'll do something that defeats the defense, and he does it consistently.
I love the fact that he rebounds the ball. He's a good shooter, but you know, even if he's not making shots, he can make a difference in the game with his passing and his rebounding. That was to make him a complete player.
I would say with Luka, he's a hybrid of a hybrid of a hybrid. Point guard, shooting guard, body of a small forward. He's a one-on-one. Guys who are one-on-ones, they remind you of multiple people.
I put him in the mold of a LeBron and Magic Johnson. The facilitator, scorer, playmaker for himself and others. He's a special player.
Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer!
What people don't realize is how strong he is. If you watch him play and you see the moves that he makes around the basket, sometimes they're slow moves, but they're really power moves.
What a performance. That's legendary stuff right there.
The reason that I personally like him is because he seems to make everybody around him better.
The fact that he's not scared of contact, he knows he can play, he loves to play, he has a little swag, and the world is his. This kid's gonna be around for a long time, and I don't see anybody stopping him.
Oh, yeah, we are all eager to see what Luka has in store for the Lakers in these back-to-back games starting tonight. By the way, you saw there one of his many nicknames, the Matador.
Yeah.
El Matador? I don't know. I'm not.
It'll get better.
It'll get better.
Yeah. Luka, man.
Well, they called him Wonder Boy when he was really young.
It's better than the Penguin.
The Penguin
it's
being,
the worst nickname ever.
So bad.
Look, Andre Drummond trying to fight off the Penguin, and we're with you, Andre. We are not going to let that stick to you. We promise. All right, I want to turn our attention, guys, to Steph Curry. His streak of scoring at 30 points did end last night against the Wizards after 11 games. But, Matt, seeing what your old teammate has done over this past month, would you bet against him in a play-in scenario because the Warriors are in a virtual tie with the Spurs for those last two play-in spots?
As you guys mentioned earlier, one game, anything can happen. Obviously, you know, this team has been riddled by injuries and their strengths are no longer there outside of Dre and Steph. But, you know, the way to see both those guys play, obviously Steph takes the, you know, the numbers and that's what stands out to you. But Draymond does a lot of the little stuff that keeps that team going. So they're going to be a tough team in this play-in situation. I'm definitely going to take them in the play-in situation.
I'd take him in that first game.
Yeah, right, after
the
that.
Possible Spurs.
I'd take him against the Spurs.
But Luka Steph Dallas, in the second game of a play-in. The play-in's going to be good, people.
But you want to have the best player on the court in these situations. And as great as Luka is, as great as Ja is, Steph is the best player, whatever team they play. So it's going to be interesting. But I think as far as rosters and surrounding talent, I would agree with you, Rach.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, the Warriors are a team that Steph Curry's carrying them. He's averaging 40 points in April. Right. I mean, there's just a handful of players who have done that in this league at all, to average 40 points in a whole month. So I know he cooled off a little bit last night, but he can't do it all by himself. They have to play defense. They have to get contributions from some of their role players. Draymond's got to have big nights. And I think the takeaway that I've had from Steph this year is, like, please get this man some help.
Well, yes.
Get this man a team around him because we are witnessing. He's 33 years old. He's got two or three really good seasons left.
And that it's not going to all be fixed just by Klay Thompson coming back.
Yeah,
James Wiseman now. We don't know what his injury return is going to be like, how long that will take. But they did. Look, I think the front office knows they need to make.
Yeah, look, some of that is that, you know, James Wiseman is a really talented player. He's a young player. Mm-hmm. And he didn't play summer league last year. They didn't have a training camp. This injury, I just checked on. He's not going to play summer league again this year.
No, he's not. Of that and by injury. The way, barely played in college. So like, you really cannot judge what he's going to be yet. But because of that, that means that development is going to take time. And I don't know if for next season you can count on that. And as you say, Ramona, he's 33 years old. It's been incredible what he is doing. But there just is no player in the history of basketball who has been able to be that good forever, including Michael Jordan. Like, you just, at some point, you drop off.
I think their strength, all the two, and I think we overlooked, was their bench.
Yep.
Their bench was very high IQ with vet players that have been there and been through the wars with other teams. So they brought that experience to the Golden State team. So this is just a very young team with, you know, older superstars. Getting Klay back is not going to fix everything, but I really like management over there, and I think they always have a trick up their sleeve, so don't be surprised if they pull off some kind of trade that's going to put them back in the conversation for next season.
Well, they have assets.
They do.
Okay, you have James Wiseman is a great young player. Mm-hmm. They also have a 60% chance of getting Minnesota's pick this year.
Yes, they do.
60% chance. Minnesota could finish with the worst record in the league. If they fall in the top three there, I mean, it's only top three protected, okay? It's only top three protected. There's a 60% chance that the Warriors get their pick, and it'll be fourth or fifth in this draft, which is a pretty deep draft class.
Yeah. Ramona, do you know any vets who brought their playoff experience to the Warriors and made that bench strong and won a ring? Oh, yeah, look, right there.
Oh, there you are.
There you go. Yeah. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit Kevin Durant. Steve Nash says he thinks KD can return to action soon. How soon? We will update you. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Wednesday, Nets coach Steve Nash said KD could return to game action as soon as this weekend. Quote, he is day-to-day, so I think Friday or Sunday are very possible. Matt, how cautious should the Nets be with KD? Remember, he has that thigh bruise.
I don't think this is as severe thigh bruise as other people have had, but yeah. I think selfishly we all want to see the three amigos get together and play. But similar to the Lakers, if this team is healthy going into the playoffs, they're going to be the favorites in the Eastern Conference.
Well, Rachel, there's cautious and then there's Nets cautious.
Right.
Cover enough of their games this year.
I get it, though. Like, look, seeing as how things have gone, I get it. And look, they just had a big setback with James Harden, it sounds like. So you don't want to also have a setback with Kevin Durant, especially after everything he's been through. I will say that we had a show within a show for the Knicks called Three's Company, and we haven't gotten to display or play it like at all because they've only played like 6.5 games together.
Knock on our door.
So just please, for the sake of the jump, can we get the guys?
I want to sing that song. Yeah.
There we go. Jaren Jackson Jr. Let's talk about him. Finally made his NBA season debut. Remember, he underwent meniscus surgery back in August. He finished with 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks in 18 minutes. Now it's a loss to the Clippers, but Ramona, how good is it to see him back in the lineup? Just that talent.
It has been a minute. It has been too long since he's out there, since Triple J has been out there. And look, I want to see him and Ja together for an extended stretch of games here because Memphis is ready to go. Memphis has a great team. The fact that they've been able to hold it down, that they're in the mix for this playing game without him all year, that's impressive. And you got to give a lot of credit to Ja, to Taylor Jenkins, and the whole coaching staff there.
He's one of the bright young players that people may not know about. This kid is extremely talented, inside out. He's got an edge to him. And like I said, I'd love to continue to see him and Ja develop their chemistry because they're going to be a nice 1-2 punch for a while.
Absolutely. And look, there was a point early in the season with injuries, including to Ja, where people thought, maybe it's smarter in this shortened season. Tank a little bit, right?
That was
a little bit of the...
Read those stats again. Eight rebounds, 4 blocks in 18 minutes.
I know, right?
18 points in 18 minutes.
And people don't understand how hard it is to come back into a setting like that. He didn't have any preseason. He didn't have any warm-up games. To come back and get 15 points and 8 rebounds and 4 blocks in an NBA game and you haven't played in that amount of time is very hard to do. Yes. A lot of people that play consistently don't get that, so...
Well, they will need every bit of his play because they are also right now marked for a play-in spot.
Yep.
So they're going to, the competition is going to come quick.
I wouldn't want to play the Grizz in the
playing game. Right? So, again, the plan's going to be good. Overtime Sports, Inc. raising $80 million in funding to pursue plans of a high school basketball league, tapping into the broader interest in non-fungible tokens to sports betting. Investors consist of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, Serena's husband. Right? That's how we call him.
He would own that too.
Look, dude, I mean, if you're affiliated with Serena Williams, you own that. Drake, Pau Gasol, Devin Booker, 23 current and former NBA players investing this. So, Matt, we were just talking about your boys during the break. You've got 12-year-old twins. As the father of young hoopers, how viable are alternative routes like this for you? I mean, you played in college.
This is tricky because I think, obviously, you can't tell any parent that their kid is not going to professional ranks no matter what it is. But I think it's also... It's tough. I think it's going to be successful because, I mean, the money they have and the minds they have behind it, it's going to be fun. I'm a big fan of the Overtime platform. But it's also, like I said, you're missing out on a lot because you're having these kids think, and there's just not enough space for all these kids to go to the NBA, all these kids to go to college. And that's what this is for, exposure. But if you're good enough, they're going to find you no matter where you're at. So I'm hoping the best. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the Overtime platform. The investors and the mind power behind their money, the strategic money they have, is going to be great. But this is going to be a situation we're just going to have to watch and see.
You know, we've talked about the NCAA and the reasons you go to college and not go to. For years, it has been the only option.
Yes.
It's been the only thing you can do coming out of high school, go play in college for a year, and then go to the NBA. Now we have a couple different options. We have this, and you have the G League Ignite team for the top high school players in the country.
Yep.
So I don't know, capitalism. There's other options.
And look,
not a monopoly anymore.
Right. And I mentioned this before, having a different route besides the AAU system, where, frankly, some parents have to really spend, not get, spend money for their elite talent and their kids to be able to develop. I've told this story. Chris Paul says that his father had to cash in his entire pension so that Chris and his brother CJ could play basketball in high school at the level that Chris would need to develop, to go to Wake, to obviously go on to have the career he had. Imagine if, you know, I mean, knock wood, it didn't happen, fortunately, but if Chris had had some major injury in college, like, that would have been it. That family's future could have been wiped out because they have to pay. There's an entry fee now to develop your kid. So anything that's an alternative to that, I think, is good for the game.
Break all right, up, NCAA.
Yep. Our league pass game of the night, Sun Celtics. Devin Booker scored 36.2 points per game as a visiting player at Boston in his career. So basically, he likes being in the Garden. That's the most of any player in NBA history, and it of course includes that career high 70-point effort in 2017. But when you look at both teams' rosters, who would you rather have, Suns or Celtics, Matt?
Tough question. You know, CP is a good friend of mine. I love Book, but I'm taking Boston because they've been there. They've done that. I think a lot's going to ride on Kemba Walker's shoulders this year. He's got to be that consistent third factor to help this team go, but hats off to the Suns, man. They've had a great season. I'm excited to see what they do in the playoffs.
Great. I'm going to say Phoenix. Because you saw that graphic?
Yeah.
What comes after those five? And that's been the problem with Boston all year. Like, their top five are good, but not much depth on that team. And I think the Suns have a lot more depth. They have three. They have a three-headed monster there with Ayton. And we didn't even talk about Jay Crowder there, too. They have some good vets on that team, too.
Solid vets.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny what you say about Kemba. I do think how he goes will go for the Celtics. I saw him in person on Saturday night. He told me that he's just feeling so much freer and better now that he's physically okay. It has changed his mental approach.
Absolutely.
We will keep an eye on that as we go. All right, we're out of time today. See you back tomorrow.